You are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Our live stream viewers, our television audience, we welcome you tonight here from Bloemfontein in the center of South Africa, where the revival began, and we know tonight God's revival will touch you. So come on here from Bloemfontein, let's give everybody a big warm welcome. Hallelujah. How many of you are hungry tonight? How many of you are really hungry for God tonight? Say, I'm hungry. Say, I'm thirsty. In Jesus' name. Shake the hand of two or three people and say, you better get ready. God's going to touch you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Musicians, don't go too far away. Stay there. Choir, you can sit down. The rest of you sit there on the steps, but don't be like rock rabbits and distract me. Great to see so many of you in the place. That's how the church would like, look like, where you can't fit a mouse in. Amen. That looks like hungry people tonight. So God's going to get you. I said God's going to get you right at the top there. God's going to get you right at the top there in Pretoria. God's going to get you. Amen. Good to see all of you. I miss all of you. Everybody going to the north. I miss you. Really, I understand we're one in the spirit, but I miss seeing you face to face, all of you. I do. So I know I'm not in the north now, but it's a terrible thing for me because I'm a relational person, having to do what God's calling me to do, to minister in many different places. And some of my best friends and some of the best committed followers of this vision is in Johannesburg, and I haven't put my foot in Johannesburg. And that church is just growing and exploding, and I'm so grateful for people, amen. It's all about people. I thank God for people. I thank God for each one of you. Come on, give yourself a big hand clap, making this vision possible. God bless you. A big hug. I mean it. Especially the generation that have brought us thus far. But God's raising another generation, amen. I said God's raising a new generation. The 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds, that doesn't mean the 40-year-olds and the 50-year-olds and the 60-year-olds are finished. Because these youngsters, they better run if they even want to see our dust. Amen. So I want you to open your Bibles with me tonight to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Somebody say fire. Fire. The fire will take you higher. And give you a brand new desire. Yes. Amen. Yes. God's fire is going to take you higher. Yes. And burn in you His desire. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Yes. I'm not going to be preaching doctrine tonight. I'm waiting for God. Don't worry. Don't worry. And some of you are going to get uncomfortable before this evening is past, but your life will be changed. Because some of you have been in the same place too long, and you're shuffling along while God has called you to run. So I believe God spoke to me to pray tonight for all our churches, all our pastors. I believe there are things that have to be shaken, and not in a negative sense, but God's going to shake some things out of people tonight, forcefully. I know the Holy Ghost can be gentle as a dove, but at times He's a mighty rushing wind because the sands of time is running out and some people are asleep, walking as if Jesus is never coming back. It's like people serve God without an urgency. Not talking about sour, talking about an urgency. You can be joyful and yet urgent and not sell out to the world. Not have a sugar daddy lure you into having a brand new cell phone, but serving God. Can I have a young girl say amen tonight? Hallelujah. And by the way, girls, if you walk with God, you are going to change the world. Say amen. Well, with that good amen, I'm just going to be talking to girls here tonight. Okay, but listen to me. Listen to me. Some of you have lost yourself. You've lost yourself. You've lost yourself. You've lost yourself. Some sitting in the ministry, you've lost yourself. Some in called for finances, you've lost yourself. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses himself in the process? You're not going to go to heaven with a briefcase one day. You're not going to go to heaven with your money one day. The only thing we can take to heaven are people, and that's why Jesus came. He came for people. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He never came to give us a religion. He never came to condemn us. He came to give us a purpose, a cause. And then He sent the Holy Ghost to keep the fire ablaze in our hearts so we don't get confused and distracted. So we don't get so caught up in living that we forget what this living is all about. Why we are even alive. If you watch television, if you have any sense, you will see that the nations of the world are being shaken. Not only the Middle East, Europe, Asia, many places in the world is being shaken. And it's all pointing to one thing, and that is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a prophet that says Jesus is coming back tomorrow, but I want to tell you that Jesus is coming back very, very soon. And when He comes, will we be the wise servants found to be doing the Master's will? Or do we first have to get things ready and right before He comes? I want to live full for God. Because when I came to Bloemfontein, God said to me, run for me or I'll find somebody else. I don't want God to find somebody else. I want to be under the spout where the glory comes out. I want to be where God sees me. Come on, I want to be where God notices me. I want to be busy in the field. Come on, I want to be busy winning the harvest, reaching the lost, building God's house, building God's kingdom. I want to be busy. Not one of the five foolish virgins asleep in the church. I want to be one of the wise servants of God who have their lamp trimmed, ready for the return of Jesus, not willing to compromise, not willing to sell out to the world, not willing to sell out to a relationship, not willing to sell out to anything, knowing who I am and whose I am and where my home is. This earth is not my home. Heaven is my final destination. This is merely a pit stop. Can you say amen? A base camp. But our summit is where Jesus is. Hallelujah. And that's what we have been predestined for, to be with Him, to serve His purpose while we are alive. Amen. As businessmen, as students, as pastors, equipping the saints for what Jesus died for. Not having tea and coffee. Equipping the saints. Equipping the saints. Amen. You know, fire is something that's wonderful. Fire brings heat to those who need heat. But it also destroys and burns up things that have to be destroyed and burned up. So I want to talk about that for a moment, because that's what's happening here. The same fire can comfort you while it destroys something in somebody else's life. And it's not a fire of judgment. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 29, the Bible says, our God is a consuming fire. Say it again, say fire. Of an Afrikaans, say vuur. Amen. Amen. So when it's God's fire, it's a good fire. It may not feel good at the moment. Sometimes, as I said, it's warming, it's comforting, it's loving, because this is a fire of love. But sometimes it's a fire that refines and purifies and removes from our lives. So I want God, I've been talking to this younger generation about living a life of holiness and sanctification. And I understand that we're not going to live a life pleasing unto God by ourselves. We need the Holy Ghost. We need God to burn out everything that is not of Him. Can you say amen tonight? So Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. Amen. I'll say amen to every laugh tonight. Amen. Amen. Somebody sitting here, oh me. I say amen. Amen. Just a little bit up my volume. Matthew 3 verse 11. He says, I indeed baptize you with water. That's John the Baptist speaking unto repentance. Amen. But He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Two things. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Holy Spirit and fire. So we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. Because a lot of people have the Holy Ghost. They have a goosebump, but they don't have fire. So we need the Holy Ghost and fire. Mark chapter 1 verse 8, I baptize you with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3 verse 16, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John chapter 1 verse 33, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon Him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Now who's that person? Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 12, laying a foundation. And I think I won't get many very far beyond my foundation tonight, but that's okay. Verse Listen, you better sit you're hungry for God. Otherwise, you're going to miss the boat. Okay. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. He says, I came, Jesus talking, to send fire on the earth. And now I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and now distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you not at all, but rather division. So fire divides the good from the bad. Light from darkness. Listen to the Message translation to get what Jesus is saying. That's for us, okay? He says, I've come to start a fire on this earth. That's Jesus. Not a peaceful little religion. I've come to start a fire. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything. Turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished. Do you think that I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and to confront. I've come to disrupt and to confront. That's what Jesus says. Darkness and the works of darkness. From now on, when you find five in a house, it will be three against two and two against three. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against bride, and bride against mother-in-law. That's what Jesus said. I never came to give you a little lullaby, peaceful religion. I came to bring a sword. I came to bring division. I came to set people at variance with one another. Those for me and those against me. Those who will stand for me and those who will not stand for me. That's what fire does. Because when you are touched by the fire, you cannot stay the same. I'm going to drag everybody over this side because obviously there's more power this side. Okay. I mean this side. Must be that lady over there. Amen. This side. Come on. Give him a praise. That side, give him a praise. Come on. Ach nee man, daai is sommer ou swak ou prysetjie daar. So dankie Bethlehem, help my. Amen. In 1665, London was in the grips of a terrible plague called the Black Plague. We all know the horrors of which can still be read from the pages of history. The disease germs were hiding and breeding and multiplying everywhere. Every corner became a nest of contagion. Nothing would be found or could be found to displace it. In the following year, not an act of God, but the great fire broke out. And the plague was smitten that the city was possessed by in a spirit of burning. London was literally baptized with fire. The fire sought out the most secret haunts of the contagion. And in the fiery baptism, the evil genius of corruption gave place to the sweet and friendly genius of health. Fire accomplished quite easily what water would never have accomplished. Fire is one of the most powerful symbols in the human language. It is in its uncontrolled state, it is an object of dread. But it is still a source of immense blessing to men. It becomes that agent of progress and change. So Jesus comes, he said, I never came to maintain the status quo. I came to start a fire that will disrupt everything, a fire that will turn this world upside down, right side up. Come on. And how we need our world to be turned upside down, right side up, in Jesus' name. This fire that he promises is a fire of God's love, the purest form of love that you can find, the purest source of light, God himself, a fire that will not judge you. But a fire that will neither leave you where it finds you. A fire that will change you. A fire that will purge you. A fire that will purify you. A fire that will burn into you the image of Christ. A desire for God. Changed forever. This is the baptism that Jesus promises. The fire and the Holy Ghost. A fire that will warm the other and disrupt the other. A fire that will divide five, two against three. A fire that will cause you to be a bold person, from a timid, weak individual to somebody that is radical and bold, where people look at you, they say, can this be the same man? From a reed Peter to a rock, from a reed Simon to a rock Peter, from somebody that denied Jesus Christ to somebody that will preach unashamedly, even if it means you go to prison, you will stand for God and you will be counted. Somebody shout amen. So this baptism of fire will do three things in our lives, or burn three things into our lives. Number one, it will burn the presence of God into us. Everybody say the presence of God. Remember before Moses went into the promised land, he said, God, how will we be different from the nations of the earth? Is it not your presence upon us? We need God's abiding presence upon us. The second thing fire will burn into you is a passion for God. The third thing fire will burn in your life is purity, the purity of God, where sin will have no hold over you, where sin will lose its attraction. The devil will lose his hold. You will not have to worry about temptation. Temptation will be burned away out of your life. How many young people believe that's a good thing? Shout amen. So in the Old Testament, God reveals himself over the tabernacle in the day as a pillar of cloud, but at night, in the dark seasons of our lives, as a pillar of fire. Fire again resembles the power of God, the presence of God. And we know that the Bible says in Numbers chapter 9, as long as the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel remained in camp. So this presence of God in the person of the Holy Ghost is sent by God to lead you and to guide you into all truth. So sometimes people have good ideas which are not God ideas, and they get themselves in trouble because they're not living in the presence of God. They're not living in the baptism of fire, because that baptism will purify your motives. That baptism will deal with your own agendas. That baptism will keep your heart set ablaze for God and for the purpose of God. Because Jeremiah 17 very clearly tells us the heart of man is deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. So we can't even trust our own hearts. Sometimes we say, this is in my heart, and it's not even God working in our hearts. We need God to purify our hearts, to purify our motives, to burn out everything so that what is left, it is the voice of God. No matter how difficult, Joseph, God may lead you. And you know your destiny is the palace, but you may be finding yourself in the prison. And now you're looking for another job, but it's in the prison where God is building your character. You're looking for a stepping stone, and God says, no, I've placed you exactly here so I can purify you. You are the clay, I am the potter. I am refining you, I am purifying you, I am purging you so that you can be my man, my woman that I will use. You say, Pastor, how will I know what is God's will? Well, by staying close to God, by praying in the Spirit. By walking in the fire of God, you will know yes, or you will know no. So the Israelites, whether the fire stayed for a day, 2 days, a month, a year, they stayed where God's fire was. So with the baptism of fire, we get a sure witness in our hearts that we know what the will of God is. We don't have to live the guessing game. We don't have to go to the horoscope. We don't have to read Linda Goodman's book about the stars telling our future. We can trust that God will lead and guide us. We don't have to go to Aunt So-and-so and read the leaves. We don't have to go to a witch or a witch doctor. We don't have to consult our ancestors, because our ancestors are not alive on this planet Earth. We consult the Holy Ghost, who Jesus sent to lead us and guide us into all truth. So in the New Testament, God now lives in us. So although people are born again, throughout the New Testament, you will see the pattern of the early church. The first thing they did when they heard Samaria received the word in Acts chapter 8, they sent Peter and John to go pray for them, and immediately they prayed for them to receive the Holy Ghost. Already received the word, already born again, but they had not received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10, same pattern. While Peter was still speaking, the disciples were amazed that the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out upon the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So while Peter was preaching, like tonight, I'm praying and people are doing weird things according to you, but that's God's power, God's presence touching them. Acts chapter 19, when Paul comes to certain disciples, 12 of them, he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we've not even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. He said, into what baptism were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. He said, well, John baptized you into a baptism of repentance, saying, believe on the one who is to come, that is Jesus Christ. But Jesus did come. They were baptized again in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, then Paul laid his hands on all of them, and they all were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So every time people were filled with the Holy Ghost, there was an evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's an evidence. So when God fills you up, something comes out. And what comes out is prophecy, is speaking in other tongues, is worship, is thanksgiving. God wants you filled with the Holy Ghost. God wants you filled with joy. God wants you filled with peace. God wants you filled with righteousness. So the more you are filled of God, the less the world can fill you up. Can you say amen? So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says, you are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. So now God lives in you. That same pillar of fire, pillar of cloud that led the people of Israel by day and by night now lives in you. That's why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so that you can live fully aware of God's presence. Fully aware, not asleep, but on fire, like that fire. On fire, filled up, full of God, full of glory. Amen. So anything else that resembles darkness cannot sit on you, because flies do not sit on a hot plate. Amen. So people say, well, you're really, Pastor, I'm really struggling. Well, just set yourself on fire, because no demon will arrest you if you're on fire. You need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Get filled with God. Get filled with the power of God. Hallelujah. Satan can't get his hands on you. You get filled. That depression won't be able to get its hands on you. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Not with your intellect. God doesn't mind you being intellectual, if that's what you call it. He created you. He wired you exactly the way you are. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, Paul was more learned than any one of us sitting here today. He had more doctorates if he was alive today. He was a very intellectual man. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a very educated man. Very, very educated man. Had to be a Pharisee and to be a teacher. But he says, what things were gained to me, I have counted rubbish that I may gain Christ. Christ is the anointed one, and he's anointed that I may live an anointed life, that I may live a life filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. So Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to be your teacher and to be your guide. We're going to pray for this tonight. John chapter 16, verse 7. Think about it. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now imagine the disciples when they're walking with Jesus and he says to them, it's better for you that I go away. Like Pastor Sean, when everybody shouted when he came for me to pray for him, and I said, well, while you shout, wave him goodbye. Amen. So Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus says, I'm leaving you, but it's for your advantage. He says, I will send him to you, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So God reveals things even in our life as and when he knows we can handle it. I mean, when I started in Lady Brand, I never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing now. And I'm sure 10 years from now, when we do what we do, I will not believe that we would do what we do, because it's a journey. God shows you line upon line, precept upon precept. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But we all need the revelation of the next step. We need God to reveal the next step. Move to Bethlehem. Do this in Bethlehem. Start something in Kwakwa, start a home selling rates, whatever. And as you obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the rest will be history. Then 10 years from now, young people walk in your ministry and say, how did this all happen? How did this happen? Well, it happened because you followed the unction of the Holy Ghost. There is no substitute. There's no substitute. You build a business. You want to marry somebody. You need the Holy Ghost, not the holy flesh. You need to eat on the holy word, amen, and not on holy Hollywood, amen. Be filled with the holy word, amen, and not Hollywood, amen. Did you get that right? Hollywood. I mean, Hollywood is speaking louder than anybody else in the world. We don't follow Hollywood. I follow the eternal Christ. I follow the one who was dead, who is alive. Come on. I follow the one who is coming again. I follow the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the light of the world. Hallelujah. I follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the bright morning star. I follow the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. I follow the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. I follow the one who was and is to come. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Come on. I'm not going to sell out to this world. We have our hero. We have our superstar, Christian. We have our way maker. We have the one who has impressed us. We're not looking for another superstar. We have found the pearl of great price. Oh, come on. In the name of Jesus, somebody give the Lord a radical. Oh, come on. Somebody just do something crazy. Somebody just do a little dance. Somebody do a jump. Hallelujah. I'm a believer. 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 I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. A follower of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, give somebody a high five and say, be a believer. Your leaders are merely your guides. We guide you to the star. We're not the star. We honor our leaders, but we don't worship our leaders. We worship our King. We worship our King. Come on. Oh, come on. Just worship Him. Somebody help me tonight in this place. Lift your hands and worship Him. Tell Him that you love Him tonight. Lift up the name of Jesus wherever you are. Worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify your name. We exalt you. We magnify you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Sit down, but don't be quiet. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear it now. So you're not ready for that relationship. God's never told you to have that relationship. You can't handle that relationship. You're getting yourself messed up in that relationship. If He never told you to be in that relationship, what are you doing in that relationship? Huh? Getting messed up, Pastor. No more. You need to take your life back, girl. You need to take your life back. Take your life back. Take your respect back. Take your dignity back. Allow God to restore you in Jesus' name. It says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. All truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. So when you spend time in the presence of God, you're not cynical like everybody else, because you see what other people don't see. I'm amazed sometimes how people that are not even spiritual have more vision than people who are spiritual. And they don't even hang out with God and they're optimistic. And us who are the children of God, who are supposedly anointed by the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, to see the future, are negative. And all we can talk about is our painful past and not say a thing about our future. Well, something is wrong. When I sit with a man and he says, Pastor, tell your church to put on dark sunglasses because the future is so bright. But you talk to the average South African and they have no positive expectation for the future. Who are you listening to? Who's painting the picture of the future? The media? I mean, the media sells on negativity. Get it once and for all. The media will never publicize anything good or anything positive. You cannot read in the media about your future. You have to read in God's media, the Word, about your future. You're not going to find your future on SABC, on ETV. You're going to find your future in the Word of God. You're going to find your future in a relationship with God who will show you things to come. Because I want to tell you, even when the world goes up, God's children will go up. When the world goes down, God's children will go up. When the world goes down, God's children will go up. You will be the top dog. You will not be the bottom dog. You will be the head. You will not be the tail. You will go over. You will not go under. That's what God promises you. Shout amen if you believe it in Jesus' name. You can't live without vision. You can't build anything without vision, because there are too many naysayers, too many cynics. I mean, when South Africa, and I'm, you know, I don't live with my head in a hole somewhere, but you know, people come and rate us as junk status, and sure, we say take note of that. But let's rate them and see whether they are also junk status, because they prophesy to our country and they say to us, we are now finished. And then God does exactly the opposite. We're not finished. Our rand gets stronger. We will get trade deals. We will become blessed because God's hand is upon us. You can rate us anything. We will not stay at the bottom. Come on. We will not be the bottom of the barrel. We will be a delightsome land. We will be a blessed nation. We have a future and a hope. This is our land, a blessed land. And our children's children's children will have a future in South Africa. You say, Pastor, how can you say that? Because God said so. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Oh, I lift my eyes and I see the milk and the honey. I lift my eyes and I see a delightsome land. I lift my eyes and I see a blood-washed South Africa. Somebody say amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So He will show you things to come. That's why I don't hang out with negative people. You won't find me. I'll counsel negative people and then I'll pass them on after one session if they want to stay negative, because it's a choice. Amen. You really have to work against God to be negative and to have no hope. So that's just point number one. I want to pray for you now. Maybe you've come here tonight, you don't know Jesus. You go to church, you read your Bible, you try to be a good person, but you don't know Jesus. If you die tonight, you don't know that you'll go to heaven. I was there for many years. Firstly, I was a religious young man, went to church, never found Jesus in the church. Read my Bible every night, prayed every night in Afrikaans. God, forgive me all my sin for your name's sake. I was on my way to hell. I had no relationship with God. Then I left the church for 5 years, went to church twice for weddings. And both times I was drunk as a skunk. 5 years. I'm not saying it proud. I'm saying it factually. I turned my back on God because I never found God in religion. And then I ran away and lived a life that I thank God He saved me from. So I tried when I was small to please God, but I couldn't because I wasn't born again. And then I rebelled against God because nobody could show me how to serve God. All I heard was, you may not, thou shalt not. And I did everything the church said I shouldn't do. I felt guilty, ran away from God. For 5 years, turned my back on God. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, there in Pretoria, in Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban, Hillcrest, Ballito, Pietermaritzburg, Richards Bay, all the Durban, or all the Natalites. There in Cape Town, Stellenbosch, Worcester. And you don't have peace with God. If you die tonight, you don't think you'll go to heaven. Maybe you served God at one time, but you've grown cold. You've wandered away from your Father's house. Come back tonight. I want to pray for you. God's already spoken to you that this is real tonight. You may not understand it in your head, but this is real. This is more real than what the world has to offer you. His name is Jesus Christ. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving tonight. You say, Pastor, I need a new beginning. I used to serve God on fire, but I've lost my fire. I've left my first love. Tonight, I want to come home. I want to give myself back to Jesus. I need a new beginning. Because the Bible says it's appointed for all of us to stand before Jesus one day and give account. The only thing that will qualify you on that day is whether you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Tonight you say, Pastor, I'm ready. I want to put my life back in God's hands. I want to come back to Jesus. I want to make peace with God. I want to give Jesus my life. There in Potchefstroom, every head bowed, every eye closed. What a great honor to pray for all of you. God loves you. We love you. God's got a great future for you. I want you to pray this prayer. Put your hand on your heart. Pray with all your heart right now, everybody. As you give yourself back to Jesus tonight, say this little prayer. Say, Jesus, I give myself back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe with all my heart you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Tonight I open my heart and I invite you to take your place. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Please wash me in your blood. Tonight, Jesus, I give myself back to you. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you that I'm your child, never to be left. Thank you that you are my Savior forever. In Jesus' name, I'm born again. Amen. And amen.
And amen. Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.